It is a blessing for us to be able to be here tonight, to be able to worship God together and to study His Word. We're going to look tonight as Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. The Apostle Paul, in writing about himself and about his work as an apostle, and he says, "If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord." Now, what Paul is talking about there is that he was an inspired writer. God, the Holy Spirit in particular, came upon him and directed him on what to write. And so Paul says, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, in other words, if you think that you have the same gift or some like gift as I do, he says, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. In other words, if I am speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Paul is saying there, and someone else comes along, claims to be a prophet, then what he says needs to be the same thing, the same teaching, and the same truth that Paul has, because he is receiving that from the Holy Spirit directly. And so, he's going to be then talking about, we're going to talk about tonight also, the idea of the inspiration of the Word of God. And it's not just a discussion of theologians and other people like that concerning the inspiration of the Bible, the Word of God. In fact, it goes back to the very foundation of all of Christianity itself. God's Word either is the authority that God has given to us as the guide in our life and the foundation of it, or we are free to kind of make things up as we go along and change them as we go along. And what's true today may not be true tomorrow. And we can kind of decide how we want to serve God, how we want to worship, and then such as that. Because God leaves that up to us. If the Bible is not inspired in the way the Bible itself says that it is. And as Paul was saying, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, in other words, directed by the Spirit, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. In other words, anyone who claims those titles and those spiritual gifts, miraculous spiritual gifts of the time, he says they have to agree with what I say, not because of what I say, but because the Lord and in Christ and God the Holy Spirit has given me these things to write and to say. And so it can't be both. We can't decide that we're just going to worship God, serve God however we want, and then claim that we're going to go about and follow what the Bible says. Inspiration is for the foundation of the truth of God and His message to you and me. God spoke to man through the writers of the Word of God. And we'll talk about it in a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul there said, and we'll come back to this verse a little bit later, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, there's no Scripture, there's no part of the Bible that was not given by God's inspiration, either to the prophets of the Old Testament or the apostles or prophets of the New Testament. They're all given by God, the Holy Spirit, to them, to direct them in writing the things that they wrote. And so inspiration, biblical inspiration, we have to look at what the definition of that is. We turn back to the Word of God itself. Now, there's two passages as an example, or many others we could refer to. But in Job chapter 32 and verse 8, it says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. So the spirit that God placed within us, when originally in the Garden of Eden, He took Adam and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, it says man became a living soul. He gives to us that kind of inspiration, that power and that ability to live. But even beyond that, there is an almighty inspiration which applies to the Word of God, which goes beyond simply the breath and the life within our body. God directed Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament. And on this particular case, Paul and the other apostles and those who were prophets like Luke and Mark, for example, that God directed them, and God through the Holy Spirit directed them to write. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where he said, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, God gave it directly to Moses, to the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the other prophets of the Old Testament, in the New Testament, to the apostles, to be spoken first of all and then written down for you and me later on. And so we look at that. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But it says, and it is profitable. Well, what does it profit for us? What is the profit that the Word of God gives to you and me? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Every area of our life, the Word of God is given as our direction. And he says it is profitable for doctrine. In other words, teaching the message of the Word of God as he gives to us. And we're to take and to give that teaching, that doctrine, that message to others around us. For reproof. When we sin, we are to be rebuked and we are to be reproved because we have done wrong. The Word of God is given to cause us to realize when we have fallen into sin, and so that we can be properly understanding of that sin, and we can be ashamed of that sin and then do something about it. So the Word of God is there for the doctrine, the teaching, for the reproof, and he says for the correction. When we realize we have sinned, we need to do something about it. We need to be corrected in the way that we live. And the Word of God is done for that. It is there for our correction. We're going the wrong way, and God directs us and brings us back by this correction to his way. And then, when we started back on the way again, he says for instruction in righteousness, that we can continue on the road to God's will and God's righteousness. And he says, so the all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So why did he do it? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, everything we need in this life to be directed in God's will is found in the Word of God. And so it was inspired because of that. The inspiration means that God gave it himself directly to the apostles and the prophets that we read it from in the Bible, that wrote it down for us. Literally, the word inspiration comes from a word meaning God breathed. In other words, God breathed forth his message through all of those who wrote it for us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. The New International says the prophet's own interpretation. And he says, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God being moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, you go through the Old Testament, there are a lot of people claiming to have prophecy and claiming to have the Word of God, but they were not. They were proven to be false prophets. But this is the true, this is the real thing here. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. Now, that interpretation didn't really mean originally that it's translated there the way we talk about it today. Most people think of interpretation, well, we can just read the Bible and we can decide for ourselves how to interpret it. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about the method that God used to reveal his message to the apostles and prophets. That's the interpretation. And so, like I said, the New International Version translates that the prophet's own interpretation. In other words, Moses didn't just sit down one day and decide to write the Ten Commandments on his own. He didn't decide to write Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy either. God directed him to do that. It is not of his private message that he was giving. It's God writing through him. For he says, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, the true prophecy. Now again, like I said, there's been false prophets from the very beginning, all through the Old Testament. Many times in the New Testament we're warned about the coming of false prophets and false teachers. And then all the way through, we're warned of that. But he says, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God. How did they speak or write from God? Being moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's an important passage right there, an important thought. The term moved by the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And sometimes I hate to use that term because, you know, we think the first person of the Godhead is the Father, the second is Christ the Son, the third is the Holy Spirit. Almost like there's an order of importance there. But we don't understand they are all the same in power and importance. But those are the three persons of the Godhead. So we refer to the Holy Spirit sometimes as the third person, just to distinguish between the Spirit and Christ the Son and God the Father. But people are moved by the Holy Spirit who were inspired to write the Word of God. You go back to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And it's there it says, the Spirit of the Lord, the Lord God is upon me. Now Jesus quoted that passage in Luke chapter 4 when he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and read from the prophet Isaiah. And he read that particular passage. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And later in that same passage, he said, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. Now what he was saying, that Isaiah was inspired of God to write that 700 years ago, and now it's being fulfilled in me. The term moved by the Holy Spirit literally means to be carried along by him. In other words, man does not decide what he's going to write and hope that God appreciates it or God approves of it. No, God, the Holy Spirit, gave them directly the message. That is, working on their own, they are directed by the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God without error. And so it is truth, it is perfect truth, and they are directed by the Word, by the Spirit, to write these things for us and to understand them. But first of all, we need also to look at the idea of what inspiration is not. You know, we talked about what it is direct divine intervention by the Holy Spirit for the writers and the teachers of the Old Testament and the New. He directed them to write what they did. But inspiration is not just some great feeling that we have within. Now, sometimes you might read about a poet or something, or a composer, and one writes a great poem and a composer writes a great song, and they said, well, I was inspired to do that by something that I had seen or heard. Well, that's not the kind of inspiration we're talking about. That is kind of a form of it, in the sense that God sometimes can give us understanding that we can use in our way of life every day. And we can use that word sometimes in that current usage, though that's the way it's used. But the word in the biblical context is not simply we have this good feeling about something, or we see something that's important to us and we say we're inspired by that. That's not what the Bible is inspired by. It also is not the emotion of the moment. Sometimes people are inspired in the sense that the world thinks of it, by love or even hate or amazement or something other like that. And I've heard people say, well, I was inspired by, for example, the beauty of the sunset or something. And that's important, and that's a good thing for us to feel sometimes, but that's not biblical inspiration. Another thing that biblical inspiration is not, it does not make the people who wrote the Word of God into a robot. They didn't just sit down and pick up a pen and close their eyes and the word of God was written. No, the Holy Spirit guided them, and they didn't go in some kind of trance and where they didn't know what they were doing. The Bible is inspired, and God, the Holy Spirit, inspired them to write in their own language, with their own ability, their own vocabulary. But He guided them to write it perfectly so that it would not have any errors. And they use their own vocabulary, their own word order. For example, if you just even in the English translation, you go and read, for example, the Gospel of John, and then later on you read the writing of Luke, and those two Gospel accounts, and they're very different in the word usage they had, the language way they talked about things, because the Holy Spirit guided both of them, but they wrote the same things, but in different terminology sometimes, in different ways. So the Holy Spirit guided them to do that. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11, John had the message given to him, "What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches." So John was commanded by the Holy Spirit to write down the things that he saw. But the Holy Spirit guided him to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 29, Paul there says, "And let the prophets speak by two or three, and let others discern. But if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silence. For you all can prophesy one by one, that all may learn, that all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." In other words, God wanted them to understand and to deliver the message individually to the collective audience, if they were speaking directly by inspiration, and if they were writing, to write it on their own as God directed, the Holy Spirit directed them. But the situation here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is talking about in the assembly. And there were people at Corinth, there were a number of people at Corinth that had different miraculous spiritual gifts. And so God said, you do this in an order. You keep it orderly. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." In other words, not everybody jumping up to talk at once. But one will speak and they will listen. Another may have to get up and further explain something by inspiration. And that's what they did. So the speaker or the writer had control over the use of his spiritual gift. He wasn't just suddenly just taken over, and he had no control over it. And it says there in verse 32, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." God brought them peace and an explanation of the word to do so in a proper order. But there are some examples of what the Bible says about inspiration. It is true to what God says to us. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20. Now, of course, the writer here is Moses. Moses the prophet. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20. It says, "But the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Now here, God explains what they are to do about false prophets. He says, one that presumptuously speaks in my name. In other words, that claims to speak for me when in fact he is not doing that, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. So if one took the name of some idol god and prophesied for him, he is to be put to death under the law of Moses. Verse 21, "And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken?" In other words, they ask God, well, how are we to determine whether what is spoken is from God or from not? Well, verse 22 of Deuteronomy 18 says, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and if the thing does not follow nor come to pass, that this thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. In other words, you will know if his prophecy comes to pass, you'll know that it's from God. If he speaks it and it doesn't happen, you'll know that he is a false prophet. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Paul says, "But unto the married I give charge, yea, not I, but the Lord." So here Paul was speaking the words which the Lord gave him. And later on he says, "But to the rest I say I, not the Lord." He wasn't saying, "I'm just giving my opinion," but he says, I'm doing this by direction of the Lord now. So Paul explains in his speaking and his writing was in fact inspired from God to direct him to give them and to us the message of eternal life. Paul explains his speaking and his writing, and it is on equal basis with the message of God, of Christ, that he delivered, because it is by his authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples, the apostles. He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," or go teach them. The apostles received that message, but they received it by inspiration. So not only could they teach it, something they had never studied before, but also they could write it down for you and me. And here we are today. We're doing that very thing. We're studying the message of the Word of God. The Word of God, the inspiration of God, is his authority, and it is authoritative in our life. 1 Corinthians 14:37, as we read earlier, Paul says, "If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of God." In other words, Paul says, "I'm doing this by God's authority." He was not saying, I look how great I am, and I'm going to give you the message, and you better listen to me." That's not what he's saying. He says, "This is from God. I'm simply the messenger that delivers it to you." 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. He says, "And for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, that when you receive from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." He complimented the church at Thessalonica. He says, when I wrote to you and I spoke to you, you didn't just receive it as the word of man. You received it, as he says, as it is in truth the word of God. God has revealed to me through the Holy Spirit this message. It also is given for our good, to do what is right, to follow the message of the will of God, to identify what is bad and stay away from it, to find out what is good and follow it. Again, we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and begin reading there at verse 15. Or go back to verse 14. For 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He's writing to Timothy, and this was his last writing he was doing to him. He says, "But abide in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." He says, "You've learned these from me, but you understand there's something greater." He says that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture is inspired of God and is also profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then Paul made his charge to Timothy. He says to preach the word. Verse chapter 4, verse 2. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But how does he do that? By going back to the teaching of the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 25, James says, "But he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and so continues in it, not simply a hearer of the word, but a doer of the work, will be blessed." That's what James says to us. We look into it, we study it, we learn it, we put it into practice every day. Then we're going to be blessed for that. The Word of God is inspired and is given to determine right and wrong so that we can do the same and we can know for sure for surely. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John there says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And again, that's what Moses said a long time ago, and then John says it there. How are you going to know? Well, you go back to the Word of God. You prove the spirit, the message that you receive. You'll go back to the Word of God and see what it says. Well, in the book of Acts, we find the people in Berea did that very thing. When they heard Paul preach, they didn't just accept it. They didn't reject it either. But they went back to the Word of God and says to see if these things were so. And they found out that they were. And many believed and obeyed the gospel there. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks a lot about this. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. I'll go back there for a moment. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruit you shall know them." In other words, he says, you can know for sure if they're a false prophet or not, because you compare what they say and write and speak with what the Word of God says. And we're to continue to do that all the days of our life. It is given also to reveal God's message for us to understand and to follow. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Paul, at the end of a long discussion there, he says, "O depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Well, we can't. We don't know the mind of the Lord, except that he has revealed it to us in the Word of God. Psalms 119 and verse 11. He says, "Thy word is I've laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Then he says in verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In verse 130, "The opening of thy words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple." That's the purpose of inspiration, to be our guide every day we live. The inspiration is the authority that we serve and that we live and live by each day. What's the application to us? Well, we study it. We put it into practice every day. We obey, and when we do so, by our faith, we're going to be blessed now and for all of eternity. Because if we disobey and stay in that condition, we're going to suffer the consequences. In Matthew chapter 7, also in the Sermon on the Mount, and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons. By your name do many mighty works.' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.'" We have to go back to the Word of God. And if we do so, and we are faithful, God will give us eternal life. But we have to make that decision every day we live, tonight also. If there's a need in your life to respond to the Lord's invitation this evening, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.